This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Chicago's historic Union Station is set to get a renovation for the first time in more than 30 years. Now, the aim is to reduce congestion and boost the station's accessibility and capacity. And Amtrak, the company in charge of Union Station, wants to hear from you. You can take a survey sharing your experience at the station and the upgrades that you'd like to see. So to learn a little more about the history of the nearly 100-year-old station and what the updated Union Station could be like, we've convened a panel of transit experts. Mark Walbrun is an engineer who has worked on renovations of train stations across the country, including our Union Station. Mark McGlary is the spokesperson for Amtrak, and Sarah Freistadt is a transportation reporter for the Chicago Tribune. I started off by asking Mark McGlary to give us a sense of scale for the transportation hub.
On a given day, there are about 50 Amtrak trains, but there are many, many more Metra trains in the station. If you imagine the station like a shopping center, our anchor tenant is Metra. And it's great you have Mark Walbrun on the phone with us today because he was a big part of the 1991 configuration of the station. Remember, Chicago, like so many other big cities, and New York is another good example of this, lost its grand concourse building, the primary space where people used to step off and step on trains. Back in the late 80s, when Amtrak finally got possession of the building, we began making some steps. And in 91, we reconfigured the area that's underneath the long-ago Marsh & McLennan building and the long-ago Stock Exchange building. And Mark was a big part of that. But since then, we've outgrown that configuration. And the other issue we face is whenever there's any kind of service disruption, if someone's trespassing on the tracks and Metra can't do their afternoons, or if there are mechanical problems, it does not take but a few minutes, even in today's environment with fewer people working downtown 5 days a week, the station to become extremely congested. So we're looking to reconfigure most all of the concourse area. We have a food court on the mezzanine between the concourse and the great outdoors. What to do about that's another question, because as people move through the station, they go through two banks of escalators, one up to the court mezzanine, another one to the outside.
Right.
And that's another thing that slows down traffic. So where should a food court be? What kind of food should we have?
Lots of possibilities here when it comes to this renovation. This is home to several different lines, this station, right? Metra, Amtrak, as we've talked about. Hearing Mark speak, Sarah, I mean, how do you think that this compares to the number of people who ride CTA? Or move through the city's airports even?
Yeah, you know, I have definitely been caught in some of that congestion Mark Magliari was talking about, so I feel that. But, you know, it's certainly we're looking at about before the pandemic, by Amtrak's own estimation, about almost 36 million people a year going through Union Station. That's Metra riders and Amtrak riders.
That's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. Something that I was really surprised to learn when I started looking into the numbers is that, kind of historically speaking, that's actually more people than traveled through Midway Airport in a year.
Wow, yeah. I can believe it.
Obviously, that's pre-pandemic, so travel habits have changed. There's a little bit less people going through Union Station now, but it's not too far off.
So for the region, I mean, Union Station is an important staple.
Exactly.
Mark Walbrun, what were your first impressions of Union Station the first time you saw it?
Unfortunately, I saw it when it was being torn down in 1969, 1970. The Grand Hall was still grand, although it had been painted black for World War II, and no one had gotten around to unpainting it. The concourse building had been removed, and what was left was a bare basement with concrete floors and concrete walls. It was not a very inviting place, and I was very excited when we had an opportunity after Amtrak got control of the building to actually renovate and replace the ticket counters, baggage claim, Metra's facilities, and introduce boarding lounges for customers that were warm and friendly, and they could spend time waiting for their trains and not have to be exposed to outdoor weather, which is unfortunately the case in the earlier building. So over the years, Amtrak has done a wonderful job of continuing to upgrade and move the facility. When we completed the renovations in 1991, we did an analysis that they were probably good for about 15 years at the most in terms of capacity.
Okay.
So we've already exceeded that time. So it's not surprising at all that Mark Bagliari is planning to do yet another expansion to take control. And Sarah is absolutely right. I always talked about the fact that we handled more traffic in Union Station than Midway did, but we were treated the same sometimes. Interestingly, Union Station, like O'Hare, is a double hub. It is a hub for both Amtrak and Metra, just like O'Hare is a hub for both American and United Airlines.
What about you, Sarah? The first time you saw Union, what did you think?
Well, I think I was a little bit surprised at maybe the big empty train hall. It's grand. It's beautiful. I wish there was a little bit more there. You know, Mark, I hate to say this, but I frankly, Union Station is old. It's
almost 100 years old.
Yes. And I'm sure the renovation was wonderful in 1991, but rider habits have changed. Obviously, the number of riders passing through has changed. And so, you know, maybe it's time for a little bit of a refresh.
Yeah. Give us some more of that history, Mark Bagliari. 100 years.
The station was owned by a coalition of railroads, and this is not unusual across the country. I'm talking to you from Denver Union Station today, which was another coalition of railroads who built a shared station. In fact, there were several shared stations in downtown Chicago, and ours is the most intact of all those shared stations. But even we lost the grand building that basically sat between Canal Street and the river, where most people boarded their trains. So the Pennsylvania Railroad was the primary controlling railroad at our station. And they built it, and in those years, railroads built stations not only to transfer customers from a business that wasn't always making money, but also a corporate statement about we are an important railroad, and here's our station. Mm. And just like Penn Station, New York, which was smashed to create Madison Square Garden above it, the freight railroads, we call them freight railroads now, they were plain old railroads then, had been losing money carrying customers and paying property taxes on buildings that were not making them any money at all. So the owners of the station, just as they did in New York, decided to let's sell the air rights above this concourse building, and the Marshall McLennan and Stock Exchange buildings were built above us. Both of those buildings changed names and some of the uses.
Yeah.
And we were sentenced to this concrete floor, cinder block space that we have now outgrown. And it's certainly nicer than it was before Mark and his team were working on it in the late 90s, but it is too small, too congested. And since I walk through there wearing my Amtrak badge and even sometimes a tie, I can't get through there without a customer asking me which way to what.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of a maze.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with rideshare being what it is and with the current construction going on that CDOT is doing on Canal Street, we are now a station full of scaffolding. So it is even more congested now than it was a year ago. And that scaffolding and that street project is going to last another year or two. So it's a perfect time to go to the public and say, look, we've received some funding. We want to make sure the public is aware that we've received federal funds and also contributions from Metra and the city and the county. And the RTA has been a partner with us on this. And we're going to redo this area of the station. The survey concludes at the end of this month, so you still have until the 31st. Sasha, you're going to give all the information on how to get a survey.
I sure will.
We'll look at that. And then I think our intention is to take one of the spaces that's available to us that's not blocked entirely by scaffolding and show the public sort of what our thoughts are and have another round of at least some kind of public input before design is finalized. And we're using companies that have done all sorts of great work around the country, including at Moynihan, the train hall that we created in the former post office right across the street from New York Penn Station. Yeah. And another company that's been hard at work on some of the projects, even at O'Hare. So we have some top flight companies working with us on this, but we want to be responsive to the public and know what the public wants. I mean, people say, oh, I want a disco. Well, okay, tell us that. Mm-hmm. I want a spa. Okay, tell us that. And I'm not sure we're going to come out the other end with a disco and a spa, but we are going to come out with what people have suggested.
Right.
Mark Walbrin, by the way, his is spelled with a K. Spelled correctly with a C, and it says Mark Magliari doing it. No, we have a team of people who really know what they're doing.
It's the battle of the marks. So this current renovation, Sarah, we know it's a long time coming.
Absolutely. You know,
funding has been an issue, though. Tell us why.
Well, Amtrak did just get, as you mentioned, almost $94 million to start this work. We do know a couple years ago, Amtrak applied for significantly more than that for upgrades to Union Station. They applied for a $251 million grant. So and the projections that I heard at the time were that the project would actually be even more expensive than the grant.
Mm.
So definitely this $94 million, it's still $94 million, but it's... really a very small fraction of what Amtrak was looking for.
With a project like this, I imagine there are multiple players involved.
This grant, of course, it's a federal grant. There are a number of different federal programs that mm-hmm. that can go to fund this. A lot of those came out of the big infrastructure bill that was passed a couple of years ago. Mark Magliari, who's here with us on the phone, has told me many times that Amtrak will continue to apply for these grants until they get the money they need.
Yeah.
I guess my question for him is it would be how long that will take. But you know, there's options out there.
Why don't we ask him, Mark? Your response?
Well, I'm not the one with the checkbook here. So the fact is that we've been pursuing federal grants from the U.S. Department of Transportation, and thank goodness that the bipartisan infrastructure law, or the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, has $66 billion with a B dollars, primarily for passenger rail nationally. And those funds come from the Federal Railroad Administration and the US DOT, and we're gonna keep after them. And some of the bigger numbers that Sarah remembers, we have issues besides just the configuration of the concourse level of the station. We have issues that we are the only remaining intercity passenger rail station left in downtown Chicago. And some of the routes we use, primarily to places like Carbondale and St. Louis and down to New Orleans and out to the East Coast. And as Mark Walbrin well knows, a lot of those routes actually led to stations that either don't exist anymore or have been turned into a shell. And we need to fix some of the access to and from Union Station to take advantage of the fact that we're running 110-mile-an-hour trains across part of Indiana and a good chunk of Michigan, 110-mile-an-hour trains mm-hmm. between Chicago and St. Louis. It's great we're going 110 from Joliet or from Porter, Indiana to other places, but if we're crawling along at 25 or 30, and if we wind up having to back up for more than a mile after going past the driveway to the station to get into the station if we're coming from the south, that needs to be fixed to take some of these travel times down and to improve reliability.
Yeah.
So we're chasing that money, too.
You know, as we said, Mark Walbrin, the Grand Hall, very impressive, right? And grand, as is suggested in the title. The rest is a different story. Just talk more about the challenges of the building from a rider perspective as well as the engineering perspective.
Actually, there's some serious issues having to do with the way the building was configured that unfortunately were left from the original design. The building was started to be designed in 1913, even though it didn't open until 1925. Along that time, the principal architect, Daniel Burnham, which is well known to people here in Chicago, died. And his acolytes tried to soldier forward, but they really didn't have the same capabilities he had. On top of that, the railroads began to squabble amongst themselves about how they wanted the building configured. And at a certain point, they decided that an office tower would be a good addition to the area on the adjacent to the Grand Hall. They later, when that market began to collapse, they then cut the top of the building off, even though they had just spent tons of money restructuring the building underneath, which leaves for a very convoluted facility in terms of structure. But from a passenger standpoint, the biggest problem is the Great Hall is essentially a block away from where the trains load.
Mm-hmm.
So people get very uncomfortable waiting that far away from where their trains are leaving. If you have a very long layover, it's a pleasant place to wait, and it's been the fact that we were able to finally get the air conditioning system up and running again in the building is wonderful. They use it for events and so forth. But once you get close to train time, everyone wants to be down by the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons Amtrak insisted on boarding areas down by the tracks were so that people could be within eyeshot of the boarding areas. So that still presents some issues. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some of the sketches of the newer plans, and what they're intending to do is try to remove a lot of the barriers between the main waiting room and the train boarding area, which will, again, tend to lessen people's concerns.
Mm-hmm. Well, as this process moves along, Sarah, I mean, what questions remain for you? What are you paying attention to?
I think I'm definitely paying attention to the scope of the project. You know, as we've discussed, there are, and as Mark Magliari mentioned, there are so many things that Amtrak wants to tackle both inside the station and outside the station with
right.
the tracks.
It is quite the laundry list.
A big overhaul. So I think I'm keeping an eye on, you know, what which of those projects get money, which ones are still TBD, and what kind of ends up happening. How much of this, frankly, really grand overhaul of the like central Chicago rail system. How much of that is actually going to happen? That's probably my biggest question.
That's Sarah Freistadt, who's a transportation reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you.
We've been talking about the history of Union Station ahead of its big renovation and discussing what that revamp could look like. So what's included in the master plan? And more importantly, what's not included? Here's Mark Magliari.
A lot of people were asking questions, and they were the right questions to ask at the time, about why were we doing all of this in the Great Hall? Why were we creating a new entrance out to Clinton Street, which wasn't there before? Why are we doing all this work up there, including restoring the air conditioning the previous owners turned off around 1961? And that is to move as much of the operation as we can off the floor where the trains are, the concourse level, and up to areas that are out of the way so we can keep moving to clear that out. In fact, as you know, Metro is closing its ticket windows that are on sort of a mid-level between the Great Hall and the concourse level. We closed our ticket windows down there a few years ago because people don't buy tickets anymore by crumpling up dollar bills and pushing them across the counter to a person with this big stamper who stamps them.
Right.
So over time, we've taken these steps to basically clear out the concourse level. And Walburn is very much right. The way the station was built by the folks who originally built it, remember, people who went through Chicago and always, nearly always, changed trains. There were dominant Eastern railroads and dominant Western railroads, and you could not ride, let's say, from where I am today in Denver, Pittsburgh, without having to change trains in places like Chicago or Memphis
right.
or St. Louis. So we have some legacy issues that are probably not easily corrected. And we only have really two tracks that connect the north side of the station and the south side of the station. And we've heard for a long time from people who talk about trains should run through from St. Louis to Milwaukee. You shouldn't have to change seats. How fixable that is an open question. There's only so much land between the station and the river. And in the meantime, though, we can fix the inside of the station, and we can take the steps I talked about before to make the station easier to reach from more places on the compass. This effort today, with the survey that's on tap until the end of the month, is to look at the basically the inside of the station from when you step off the train to when you step outside, and how to make that better, faster, more comfortable, and more accessible than again. Yeah. Mark and his team did a great job in 91. You should have seen that place before, yeah. In the time between us starting it, us taking ownership of it in the mid-80s, and before the 91 renovation.
Right. I can only imagine. Yeah, well, another of the intended uses of the federal grant, Mark Walburn, is making the station more ADA compliant, right? So as someone who knows Union Station the way that you do, talk about some of the challenges and opportunities here in making platforms more accessible.
Well, the ADA actually passed, the one that is currently under law, after the renovations were done in the earlier run. So we were cognizant that we wanted to do a number of improvements, including adding elevators and making sure that we had direct paths to platforms and so forth. So much of that work, including the washrooms, were bent around at that time were the access rules. They've since gotten much more stringent about a number of things, so that's part of the renovation. A more difficult problem is the platforms are relatively narrow as they were built originally. Mm-hmm. And there's been some good concepts about widening the platforms by eliminating an old service platform on either side of some of the tracks. But the infrastructure that supports those tracks and the bumping posts at the end wouldn't be in alignment. So it's a complex little problem to resolve, but it can be fixed. And if it is, it also allows for easy unloading of wheelchairs from trains because you need a little bit of space to push out into the platform. Mm-hmm. We technically can do it now, but it doesn't actually meet the requirements of the rules. So that's part of the improvements. Also, the improvements involve the mail platforms, which back in 91 were still in use. The post office was still on top of Union Station, and they still moved mail back and forth between that platform. As you know, the old post office has been renovated
right.
to a different use. So those platforms no longer have a point for post office use, but they could be reused for additional platform space, which is good to allow the station to grow.
Interesting.
And I did want to second what Mark had mentioned earlier, Mark Magliari, about the access to the station. That is really crucial because as the lines come into Chicago, they come in facing where other stations used to be. And little by little, they've been kind of rearranged to come into Union Station, but not under the most optimal program. Mm-hmm. And what they're looking at doing is making a direct connection to many of these lines so that the trains can get out of town much faster, which improves not only the service capability, but the passenger experience.
Now, some of our listeners have been weighing in throughout the week, so I want to get to some of their comments, starting with Paula from Riverside, who's a commuter going through Union Station. And her message that she left us was about how traffic could flow better on the platform. She says that when trains arrive during rush hour and there's a lot of people waiting on the platform, that there needs to be guidance. Let's listen to Paula.
There needs to be some guidance either by floor stripes or people to say the waiting people stay in the center while the floating passengers get off closest to the trains. That way there's less blockage.
She went on to say that she wants to see more signs for bathrooms and water fountains. Mark Magliari, quick comments to the listeners' ideas there?
Sure. Signage is always an issue and wayfinding. And we've been experimenting with various ways to improve wayfinding with the help of the RTA. And one of those things is the kind of floor markings you might see at O'Hare, where there's big arrows and big signs. But unfortunately, you can't see those when the station is very full. Like you can't see them when the hallway is very full at O'Hare. So by having more intuitive connections between people and the great outdoors, whether it's rideshare or cabs or CTA or other trains, we're hoping and we believe that that'll improve some of that. Mm. And by having platforms that are wider, as Mark just mentioned, we can get rid of some of the congestion we see. And we also get better throughput. If Metro's unloading a 400-passenger train, and that could be done 5 minutes or 3 minutes or 2 minutes faster with wider platforms, that improves the station's ability to manage people passing through it. Mm-hmm. It actually improves our equipment utilization and can Metro's too, because they're not stations with trains on the platform for longer than they need to be there. It takes so long to load another.
Yeah. Another thing that the renovation is intended to fix, Mark Walbrin, is the ventilation. Explain what's going on there.
Mark, I'm presuming that that's referring to the track ventilation issues with the overbuilt buildings? Mark Magliari? When they say ventilation, on the I saw that in the proposal, but I wasn't sure which ventilation they were referring to.
Yeah, over the years, the previous owners of the station, in an effort to try to get some better return from a business that was not making money for them, sold the air rights above the tracks. And how well that worked with steam trains beneath it, I have no idea. But the fact is, we can get backups of diesel fumes, whether the folks are running their ventilation systems they're required to operate properly or not. So we want to do more to ventilate the diesels, and we're still using diesels for most of our service, us and Metra, differently to keep diesel fumes from entering the station, because that can happen. And it happens all too often to our taste and that of our customers.
It was a difficult problem at the station because it wasn't easily fixed. Once they did the overbuild, they left room for a chimney, so to speak, to vent the gases. But they sometimes backed up because of thermal inversions and other strange problems.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear from another caller. This was Liz in Grays Lake. Here's her message.
Make it easier to get bikes on and off the trains and in and out of the station. It is so frustrating trying to take the train into downtown Chicago with a bike, not just getting it on and off the train, but just getting it out of the station. Please, please make it better. Thanks.
I want to hear from both of you on this. First, Mark Magliari, your response.
Well, one of the things we're looking at is another access point to the trains in the South Concourse. Right now, Metra constructed on the Madison Street side an exit that gives people two ways to leave the platforms, one through the station, one through these stairs that lead out to Madison Street. Imagine if we had the same kind of thing in a South Concourse and maybe done with escalators or elevators or less of a steep walk to get people off and on with their bicycles, off and on the trains. Right now, with these pillars in the center of the platforms, it's very hard to negotiate. And when you look at having to go through the food concourse, if you're leaving to the primary station access points along the river, the most popular entrances are the ones on Adams and Jackson at the river, and that's a two-stage escalator. Maybe that can be fixed, too.
Yeah. Mark Walbrin?
It is a difficult situation because as you once you get off, particularly Metro trains with a bicycle, you have to first negotiate down the platform where there are hundreds of other people that are moving along with you, then into the concourse area, try to wend your way through there. Fortunately, if you are going to the main bikeway for the city of Chicago, it actually comes down Clinton Street. So the new entrance that Amtrak has built out to Clinton would be pretty much a straight shot. So that's going to improve it. But part of it is just the better handling of people to disperse them more. Now, interestingly, New York resolved their problem in a way that would probably have your listeners complaining about another problem. What they did is they hold back people and don't allow them to board the train until 10 minutes before departure. Mm. So then they're all stuck in the building. Well, that makes it easy for people when the train is unloading because they don't have crowds on the platform trying to get on the train. Metro does that to a certain extent, but that's one of the tools in the toolbox. But people also like getting in and getting settled, and so they want to get on the train as soon as they can move on to it. So
yeah,
it's there's no easy solution there.
There's a lot. Yeah. And even to the point of our guidance conversation earlier from listener Paula, we had another recent listener who said, you know, it would be helpful to have more staff on the platforms just simply directing passengers when there are changes to the gates and to the platforms, just feeling like more staff would just be a boost to the rider experience.
Yeah, I think signage on the platforms would help a lot, too.
Would help, too.
There was a kind of a conundrum because there's advertising signage on the platform and it blocks other types of signage. And so, again, when you're trying
to balance the two. There's too much to look at. Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
Exactly.
So, Mark Maglieri, I want to make sure we have some time here as we approach the end of this conversation to talk about the survey. What kind of feedback is helpful for you folks? What will you actually be taking into consideration when you hear from people?
As your station gets more than just Chicago, that we can get people from around the country who are listening to this on streaming and other people who are passing through the station who don't use it very often to give us their input. I mean, if you're a commuter, and I was one in the 90s and I still am one today, you see it a lot. We see a lot of confused people who use the station once or twice a year or have never used the station before trying to find their way around. Wayfinding is very important. So the fact that we're opening this up to the whole world, not just Chicagoans, to comment on it, I think is valuable to us because we're the intercity rail provider. And certainly Metro is plugged into this and seeing it too. So it's the world is your oyster. There's a lot of, in the survey, some free range fields where you can put in, you know, the disco and the spa, if that's what you're going for, or carpet or colored lights, or, you know, moving belts like we used to have towards Midway.
Yeah.
All those things are out there. We want to make the station welcoming to everybody and every user, regardless of ability. And right now it's room for improvement.
Room for improvement. If you want to formally weigh in on improvements at Union Station, fill out the survey at chicagounionstation.com/information, and then you're going to click on Take the Survey. That was Mark Maglieri, who's Amtrak spokesperson, and Mark Walbrun, who's a retired engineer and transportation industry expert. Thank you both so much. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, and it was edited by Meha Ahmed and Brenda Ruiz. If you liked this episode of the Reset Pod, we host conversations like this every day. You can listen live from 11 to 1 p.m. each weekday at 91.5 FM. From the web, your smart speaker, or the WBEZ mobile app. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. I hope your holiday was relaxing. And as always, thank you so much for listening. We'll meet again tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.